Soul Butter, a tiny talk about big things. So much talk, so little makes sense these days. What do you do when something much wiser than the mind you use to get through a day starts talking to you? A voice beyond what's familiar. And how can you make it work for you beyond the spin in this world? Start listening today. Join Susan Gabriel from the Inside Out with special guests, songs, students, and stories as we introduce Soul Butter, a tiny talk about big things. Light Notes from the Sue's Muse. Welcome to Soul Butter, everybody. I am your host, the Sue's Muse, Susan Gabriel, and I'm so excited to be sitting with my soul sister friend from another coast. Actually, it was my spirit home for many, many years and still is, California. Constance McLean. Say hello, Constance.
Hello, everybody. It's wonderful to see my dear friend, Sue's Muse.
It's wonderful.
And be in a little of her butter.
What'd you say?
And it being a little bit of your butter.
Did you say butter?
As only you know how to do.
Soul butter. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm getting my own metaphor. Okay, great. Yeah, this is great. So, So anyway, I'm so glad to be here with Constance because she's the most remarkable person, one of the best friends I've ever had. She is a reverend, by the way, Reverend Constance McLean. She's a lifelong spiritual seeker. And this is why I call her a soul sister in one way, because she's got quite a story and I'm going to let her tell part of it. And there's certain elements that I want to bring to forward because there are a lot of people searching today for how to dance through a day. And I met Constance dancing through a room in Montecito, Santa Barbara, some time ago. She was leading a class, and it was an ancillary detail for her because she has notable credential along the path of spiritual mentorship from the Claritas Institute. She also has had a dream of becoming a minister. She's a graduate of the Spiritual Paths Institute of Interspirituality in Santa Barbara. And her love of dance, hiking, and helping others prompted her to become a certified master exercise specialist through the Cooper Institute in Dallas, Texas. And that's where she became a specialist, and this is fascinating, in somatic education, the primary focus on integrated movement. So you might look at this class and think you're just kind of dancing or getting some exercise. And she had a much deeper protocol going on because she is united from the inside out. And it's designed to guide students and clients into an embodied awareness of the inner spirit within. And this is where she and I join hands. Both of our work in the arts and in the field is tapping into something that wasn't terribly popular years ago, but today, out of necessity and all the chaos, people are really searching. So I don't want to give you the rest of her bio. I'm going to let her talk a little bit because this is really about saying hello after a period of time. We do stay in touch. And your ride into this, tell me about the dance. Tell me about the spiritual dance. Tell me about how and when did you know that your desire in life was that spiritual connection and seeking that out in your work?
Well, I've known that since I was little. I remember when I was three and a half, I sat on the edge of my bed. I was crying about something. And I just kept asking God, give me something important to do. And I never forgot that. And dance was always in my life. I mean, that's all I did. Mm-hmm. Running and dancing and hiking up my mountain. We lived, luckily, right next to a mountain in Montana. And so I was really fortunate in that my life was in spirit all the time.
That's fascinating.
You know, just was there. And the reason that I wanted to help others, Susie, was because I saw so many people that were disembodied with no somatic. People don't even know the word somatic. It means living body, for those of you that are also new to the word. Very simple spelling, S-O-M-A-T-I-C. And the body that lives within us, you know, that energy that you feel. And if you're doing any stretching, how if you really integrate it with your breath, that you will actually feel the lengthening of every single cell and neuron in your body. Every little piece of small fiber can be released because we do hold all of this emotion in our bodies. And we've got to get rid of it. Bottom line is that we have to get rid of it in order to attain the highest level of health we can attain. Or at least that's what I've learned through what happened to me.
And how have you navigated before some of the deeper experiences that drew you down? We'll get to that in one moment. How did you navigate from that sacred tear that you had as a 3-year-old or however old you were into the forms that you worked in and the organisms that you traveled through and taught in? How did you experience yourself in relationship to this deeper union that you were cultivating?
Well, I was a singer, a dancer, and an actress. And when I was living in Los Angeles, I got scared to death. It was the late 70s, and there was nothing out there but cocaine and quaaludes. And I didn't take drugs, and so I went on the road. I went out to audition one day, the very first day. I decided to go audition for things, and instead of for TV shows or soap operas, which I had that opportunity, and I just passed right by it. And I know at the time I thought that might have been the stupidest move I ever could have made. But in the end result, it wasn't. I followed my heart and my conscience, really. And so I went out and did that audition, and the very first band that I auditioned with hired me, and they were ready to go out on a 2-month tour. And so across America and Canada. So I jumped on board that van. I'd always wanted to work out of a van with the band, just be on the road. And so from that, another band that we were going up to take over for them up in Fairbanks, Alaska, they were leaving as we were coming in at midnight. And I dug the band so much. And this keyboard player was he was playing a B3, and he was just off the pale. He was so great. And so he came when they were saying their goodbyes to everybody. He came over and sought me out. We started talking. And he said, "Well, you know where you need to be? You need to be in Dallas, Texas. We have got a great music scene down there." And I said, "Well, here, give me a call or send me a postcard or something." And I'll be darned if he didn't follow up on it. And the next thing I know, he sent me a plane ticket to go from Fairbanks down to Dallas, Texas. So I hopped on that plane with 7 kittens and 2 mature cats, the parents.
Oh my God.
They were named Katherine Hepburn and Tracy. What was Tracy's first name, the actor?
Spencer.
You know what?
Spencer.
That had the affair with Katherine Hepburn.
Spencer.
That's right. Sorry, thank you, Spencer Tracy. And so I carted them all down to Texas, and this young man, I didn't know this is what he was going to do, but he did. He decided we were in a relationship. So he went and he rented this brand new townhouse that they were building in the hip part of music part of Dallas. At that point, it was on Greenville Avenue. And where the original Chili's was, actually, a little shanty. And that's a very original Chili's food place, if you've ever gone to one of those. It was small, but hip. It was cool. And then there was Whiskey River and Popsicle Toes. And these were the kinds of venues that one could go work in down there. But I wasn't a country singer. Now, all these years later, I think maybe I should have gone in that direction, but I didn't. I just kept following my heart. And
And
that's the bottom line.
yeah, and you followed your body too, because your connection, your
Absolutely.
focus with your body has been the central wellspring of a lot of your outreach to others, whether it's been in dance, whether it's been in mentorship, whether it's been in collegiate education, whatever it's been, or even friendship, you know, that belief that no one gave you, that sense of knowing that no one gave you, that you are a unified organism is really powerful.
Oh, well, that was easy, Susie, because when I was a junior in college, I decided to take the fall semester off and go to Europe to look at music conservatories. This was more of my father's dream, not mine. He wanted me to go into classical music, and I didn't want to. I wanted to be out there on the road singing blues, you know.
Yeah, I
But
do.
so
I do.
he was on his way on a sabbatical to Northwestern University. And so I'm staying with friends of my sisters who were in the military. This was during the Vietnam War. And they were living in Stuttgart. And so I was in Stuttgart, Germany, from Vienna, where I had just left. And I was out for the day translating for the wife of the captain that was on the base, that was the connection between my sister and her husband. And their friendship had blossomed from that because she didn't know how to speak any German. And she was from Georgia. And this is pretty funny. She was from Georgia and she refused to learn German. I mean, she was adamantly. She had two small children, 7 and 5. And I walked into the apartment, and the mature 7-year-old had a telegram in her hand, and she handed me the telegram. And she said, "Constance, my mom asked me to give this to you." And in the telegram, it said that my father had died that morning. And I went running to the nearest chair I could find. And I sat down in the chair and I said, "The effing male heart, excuse my French, everyone, but that's the way I felt because I'd already been very keyed in on disease and death. And I knew that there were ways that we could help, you know, and that was really the genesis of me using my dance to help people feel somatically. And so that they too could have life and not die too young before it was time.
That's fascinating. And it's also very direct and very personal. So personal experience played a big role. So the stunning thing, and I haven't yet brought our audience into this part of your story, but in 2013, you experienced, you know, a near-death experience that completely challenged and immobilized your physical container in such a way. And that has put you into a whole new world and a whole new a realm of navigating. And this is I'm going to let you tell us about what that was and how it affected you.
Yes.
Talk some more.
Well, in 2013, to be exact, on June 22nd, the solstice, I was doing every year for many years a little get together in front of the Santa Barbara Mission. If any of you have been to Santa Barbara, I'm sure you've gone to the mission. And I know Susie is probably there many, many times. And I woke up and I thought, I felt sick. Well, I knew I felt sick, but I thought I had some kind of food poisoning because my friend had had a birthday and showed up unbeknownst to me just at the house with some Chinese food and some wine. And she also had this little thing of tequila. And so she came in, we ate, and we had a little wine and a little bit of a tequila. And I went to bed, she left. And then I wake up feeling sick like that. And so I automatically connected the dots. Like I thought I wanted to throw up. And this is important to every woman out there and man, because there's all the guidelines to watch for a heart attack, as you well know. And in our country, just as many people, women die of heart attack as do of men, that men die of it. And so it's important to realize that women, you might not have a stomach ache. Or you might have a really bad stomach ache. And that is one of the signs that a woman is having a heart attack versus the arm hurting. going down the arm, the left arm particularly, which is more of a male response to heart disease. And so I got up and I usually taught a yoga class on Saturday mornings, but I had changed dates with another teacher instructor. And so I went into my bathroom to brush my teeth so that I could go upstairs and make some coffee and get ready to clean my house because I'm a clean freak. I love house cleaning. That's my Nordic side of my family. I love to get down on my knees and clean the woodwork,
It's
So if I
funny.
wasn't going to teach,
Yeah,
that is somatic. I think that's also why somatics mean so much to me because I turn on, like some Bonnie Raitt or some Bruce Hornsby and just jam and I'm having more fun. I can have the greatest sun Saturday doing that. But then, and I am, this is the key thing. I ambulated to the bathroom. In other words, I walked. I wasn't paralyzed. And then I walked upstairs to get to the kitchen to make the coffee. And I was still ambulating. And then I walked back down to put some clothes on and put some clothes on. And I walked back up. But that wasn't what keyed me to go call 911. I was, with all my knowledge as an educator in the health field, I was not keyed in to realize that I could be having a stroke. And that's actually what was happening. I was having this really bad stroke. And so luckily, I had another woman that lived downstairs, and she came running up and she saw me just splayed out on a couch we had in front of the fireplace up there. And she ran down and got her husband, who's a dentist. And so he came up with his cell phone to call. And then when the EMS people come back, and this is another important lesson spiritually, I believe, because why else would I have had all of these strange experiences in my life if it weren't for the information to get out to indeed help other people? Because that's what makes me happy, is helping. And so this was trippy. Two EMS guys are sitting on the couch, relaxing while working, not even talking to me about how I was feeling, doing all that stuff. The dentist, my other roommate, the fiance of the girl, he and one of the EMS guys start arguing. The EMS goes, "Oh, I think she has cerebral palsy." And he's going, "No, she's having a stroke," the dentist. And so that cost me time. Had that time not be wasted. So anything, if you ever have EMS coming, just stay them on task if you can talk. I fortunately had a kind of stroke that did not impact my speech too much. I have a little bit you can hear, but not a lot. But I did become completely paralyzed on my left side of my body. I can't move it. So that changed my life in a heartbeat. But that was the good news because then I finally could stop teaching for a while. And I met an incredible person who came all the way from Chicago who turned out to grow up just a few blocks from me.
Amazing.
And he was willing to come here and become part, see if we could become partners. And he helped me. And he has helped me, and he has helped me, and he has helped me forever. And I'm just graced by God on that level too. And when I told him I wanted to go to this group called One Spirit Learning Alliance to become an ordained interfaith, interspiritual minister, he turned around and he said, "Would you mind if I did too?" And I went, "Oh my God, this is it. This is it. This is it. This is so cool." Because by that point in my life, I was 59 years old. And I thought, I'd been through more guys than rides in the county fair. You know what I mean? And I never really got much out of all of that stuff.
Yeah.
to be quite honest. I didn't know love until this love,
And this is
because
total.
he's dedicated so much of himself, you know. And he also feels the same way spiritually in his own journey.
And you have had some phenomenal experiences with, and it's amazing how, when something happens, there's nothing in how you narrated that story of that crisis that I didn't hear a gratitude, not that it happened, but of what's happened in since then, in that sense, and that how you were brought a companion, how all these things have come into a fold of that have given you a different life and a new life. And the first thing you said was you were grateful you didn't have to teach for teach for a while, where someone else might, have a different perspective. But the irony, the paradox that you were a dancer and that that was the physicality of the injury, of the wounding that then was taken away, is also. I often talk to people about God's idea of a good time and mine aren't always the same. that it doesn't always look like, but appearances. One of the things that's fascinating in the journey of healing from great injury, which you and I meet there as well, and the because that was my guru to the great inside, and that our real power is. Before that movement of body, it is from the breath. It is from the organism that we wake up alive, and then we go out into the world
That's right.
with whatever we're given in whatever form that is, and to allow us to, we're so attached to the forms. We're so attached to the state of performance, to the state, to the appearance of things, to all of that, and that is.
Yes.
It melts, does it not melt away in the healing from great injury in your experience?
Yes, absolutely. Another thing that you just made me remember. When telling this story, I usually always have remembered to say what was really a profound spiritual moment. In that, when I went back to lie down in bed, when I realized I wasn't going to throw up or have to use the potty, from the food poisoning, which I'd had before, and that was what I needed to do before when that happened. And that wasn't happening. So I just thought, okay, I'll get back in bed and rest and see what happens. And then all of a sudden, like a shot, I just sat up in bed and I screamed into my bedroom, which was a very sacred kind of bedroom. It felt like a very deep, wonderful kind of cave for me the whole time I lived there. It was beautiful. It was everything I liked, wooden arched ways, that kind of thing. And so I just screamed out when I had the intuition that, oh my God, I'm really screwed up. This is bad. This is worse than I thought. And I just yelled out, I'm not done yet. And it was because I was thinking about my spiritual health students. And I didn't want to leave them. They were my children at that point in my psyche. And so that's where psyche and soma connect, I believe.
And it's a knowing, isn't it? It's a deep knowing, of the kindred,
Very deep.
of the kindred organism. People talk about the aspen tree as the largest organ, single organism. You think it's a whole forest, and it's really one organism. And the drawing down of our human experience, that appears to be a crippling experience, is really a drawing down to what is real, isn't it? It's what is
Yeah.
real that connects us, not that separates us. So,
Absolutely.
yeah. So, and when
The
you
big aha.
shared, none of it's two-dimensional. It's from a realm that reminds people of the core of how we're seated in ourselves. It's remarkable. You've helped
Right.
so many people. I mean, scores and scores and scores of people. And that you have a love partner is so stunning also, because that's not hard to find, or easy to find, I should say. That's not easy to find or connect with in this world. where you have a kindred spirit,
Impossible.
right? And I have often said, in fact, in a chapter of a book that I wrote, one of the chapters is called Impossible, because what's impossible is really my only possibility. And I think you share that same vibe in the world, right? Just like you never believe it, but it happened. And that's the universe working, right? Isn't it? That is what is brought to us, that
Yeah.
something loves us so much and knows what we actually need, even if it's bumpy and doesn't feel like love. It's like knowing something is good for you, or something's going to lead you to a place that you could have never taken yourself. Do you see it that way?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. In this situation, yes, it's the bumpy part is right on.
Yeah,
And
but it all brought you here. So what have been, and I know you've had some experiences that have put you back in the hospital. There have been times that you've been laying there waiting, wondering what the hell is happening. How have you gotten through those moments? Just share an experience that would be relevant to your experience with the powerlessness of having an additional bone breaking or something happen where you end up, there you are in the hospital, you have more surgery, and you're moved around from one place to the other. And the isolation of that, how did you navigate that with the
well, that's also fascinating. Thank you for asking that, because that's also very fascinating to me still. One of the times we were driving back from me teaching, and because when you have a stroke, you're not allowed to drive. So Jim has had to drive me everywhere I needed to go. And we got back, and my typical pattern would be get out of the car, get into the house, go toward the bathroom so I could use the bathroom. And I stood up, and there's a grab bar by the potty now. And I grabbed the grab bar and I poked my head out to look at Jim. He's just across the way. And I said, "Jim, I think we need to get to the hospital now." There was another big intuitive hit that I would have otherwise missed. We get down to the hospital. They get me in the ER in front of like 30 people in the ER room waiting. And they triaged me immediately and took me back to one of the classic ER rooms where they can do surgery. And all I could see were all these cute guys. Well, I don't know what they gave me, Demerol or something, because everybody around me, the doctors, everybody, the girls were beautiful. All these people running around helping me. I'm like, what is this? If this is heaven, this is okay. And everybody was so kind. The kindness of life comes out in spades. And so that was as the hospitalist that came to me and he said, "You have got the biggest clot I have ever seen in my 30 years of being a physician." Yeah, and that would have killed me as well. And then the last one happened almost to the day that my original stroke was 2 years ago in 23. I had gotten to the point where with Jim and a cane, I could not do a Constance fast walk. I could do a very slow walk because I could trust my left side enough. I had built that. And the major muscle groups are the ones, if you ever do have any kind of paralysis, focus on the major muscle groups that you have, because those are the ones that will come back the quickest. Like this is a dead arm right here. Let me see. I don't know if you can see, I have a dead hand. There's nothing there anymore. I can't use it at all. You would be surprised if you to think of how much you need a left hand. You need it to open things. You need it to cut things. You need it to do everything. So you really want to guard yourself from stroke. But anyways, so we were walking this day. We were walking out to the car for us to go for our 3 times a day walk, which we were doing at a church to bring more of God into the picture. And I think Jim was pushing me to hurry up because he is very impatient. The man is impatient. And I fell out of nowhere. The next thing I know, my head is under the axle in the car, and I can hear a wheel turning. And that was just my imagination telling me that I'd been in a car accident, which wasn't the case. I
Wow.
had just fallen. And instead of just falling, because of the dance, because of yoga, because of all of it, I decided to internally rotate my left knee because I thought that would protect my hip. But instead, it caused me to have not a compound fracture, but something called a spiral fracture, which are the worst ones you can get. So then they 9/11'd me, and all the people with EMS that time were like, God, your leg, can you feel that? And I said, no, feel what? What's going on? And then I got scared. Up until that point, it was like, oh, we're getting ready to go out for a party. You know, I mean, I was literally in another place.
Unbelievable.
And we get there, and they said, okay, we have to have emergency surgery, but there's no one here to do it until tomorrow morning. And her name is blah, blah, blah. And in the morning, I went in for the surgery completely. Okay, God, whatever's supposed to be is. You know, thank you for all you've given me to do. I know I want to do a lot more still. So if you think I'm worthy of hanging on a little longer, I'd appreciate it if I could get out of this in one piece. And I'll be darned, I did wake up and I was alive. It was amazing. And then she came in, the doctor came in and said, and by the way, she was a foot and ankle specialist. And the
Wow.
hardest bone to help, if you ask an orthopedist, he'll tell you it's the femur because
Wow.
it's a major source of blood flow. And so I had lost a lot of blood in that surgery and had to have two or three transfusions. One or the other, I can't remember exactly right now. But yeah, it was a lot more serious than I ever could have imagined. And so I was saved twice in my mind by something higher than the human energy on the planet.
And the thing that's so stunning about it is that it's in the moment of the experience, it's experiential, you know, it's in the moment of the crisis that whatever you needed was provided, you know, it's not, it wasn't planned out. You know what I mean? And because of delay or because of we can't do this, you know, all those things, and again, because of delay, things happened in this way. And that's what's stunning. And that's kind of the holy acupuncture, as I put it, that causes this experience of, as you said so beautifully, you know, something higher than our human, the little brain, you know, the something much more reassuring in out in the process, and that you
And
have,
more powerful.
yes, more
And
powerful.
you can feel that power. And you've never felt that power before, or I hadn't
Talk about that.
felt that kind of power.
Talk about that.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, just the ineffable power of spirit at work, you know?
And so in that process, in having met all these challenges, and
Yeah.
now you and I are veterans of various challenges, as well as the forms of the arts being close at home. But in staying with the process, what have you found to be the most challenging, if you were to share with someone, not as a minister, but as yourself, just a little piece of, or an example of real challenge, in terms of staying with not your faith, because we're talking about something deeper than faith, even, right? We're talking about, you know, the will to stay with, to not distrust the process while you're going through something that's unbearable, right? And that's a challenge.
You got to trust the great mystery. And that's not what we like to do. We like to hold, touch, smell, feel, taste. We don't want to just know about something, you know. So I think, Susie, the best thing that anybody can do is to just follow it as hard as you can. Read different people of different faiths. Talk to people of different faiths. Learn, learn, learn. Go to as many workshops and retreats as you possibly can, because then the full face of humanity starts to show itself, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I hate to say that, but sometimes a lot of ugly comes out in that venue. I'm not sure how it was for you in your studies, if it was more all positivism down in Santa Fe, right? For
Oh,
you.
my master's degrees. No, yeah, in terms of all that, there were a lot of challenges. I focused on, and this is kind of sidebarring, but in the Eastern philosophy, in that experience, I focused on the purpose of suffering because there's so much of it. It's a word that's used. It's a process. It's part of the process. Whereas in the Western world, people are using, I would see using a spiritual metaphor to avoid suffering. You know, like the opposite.
Yeah,
Whereas,
absolutely.
you know, whereas, and those of us who have come from great injury, and I'll save my story for another day, but. Or another segment of this show, but those of us that come from the embrace of great injury into the arms of great love, that is beyond brainy brain. So when you look at those materials in an educational format, which is why I think you brought up Santa Fe, the master's program in St. John's and Eastern classics, and also the Western philosophies and classics, the notion of suffering is addressed in different ways, but I know in our culture we avoid it. But when your experience in life is that, in so many ways, without inviting it,
Right.
that's why I call it the guru in the sense. And why is it? What is it actually? If you take the emotion out of it and the pain out of it, what is it actually that draws you down to a deeper place? There's something in it, and that's sort of interesting to me, and so that was a focus I had on my essays and my writing out of those traditions and ancient philosophies, you know, that were phenomenal and embrace of this. But it was all about detachment, but not a coldness. It was about an experiential, transform, melting of. And it completely throws you off. And that's the last place that I'm glad you brought that up. The last place I want to go with it is for the sake of this show. And I want to invite Constance, please come back and will you come back and join us again?
Of course, I'd love to.
Yeah.
As
Because,
long as everybody will surrender with me at the moment, we could try to do that together. I know we can do it.
And I do want to speak to what's happening in our world today, that I think the chaos of it, you and I have both known personally in our lives, but a lot of people are experiencing it for the very first time. And that's part of the purpose of me wanting to speak to you at this hour, in this time, is to ask you, how do you, what is the power of example that you can give people at this time of chaos, and how they're feeling terrified, and people that are stepping into this deeper process for the first time because of being triggered by all of this external.
I would say very simply, trust what you've always trusted within yourself and believe that you don't have to listen to anything that's out there. Jim and I have this conversation way too much because he's already crazed in his brain. It's, you know, that creative brain of his. And I just like fly away from it because I can't be drawn down. So it's like you need to know what triggers you. And once you know what triggers you, then you can love that which triggers you, but not let it get in your face. Because in reality, we are all going to be together at some point, and we will all have to suffer together in certain ways regarding the country, what we believe is right, what we believe is wrong, and all those things that are attached to that. And we can find a way to detach in communion. There are some words that come out of the religious formats, things like communion, surrender, hope, love, joy, because they still work. They do work. And if you think that Buddha and Jesus were both East-West philosophers, and they came to this place where they left us with, hey, think like this. Take a look at this, see how it works for you. If for those of you listening have not really dug into Eastern philosophies yet, I cannot, and I know Susie feels the same way, cannot more earnestly suggest that you do. And the easiest entry into that is to read Thich Nhat Hanh and his seminal little book, and it's a little book, and you will inhale it. All my students have to read it. And what they say about it is truly what it does, which is helps them beyond belief. And the name of the book is The Miracle of Mindfulness. And we know mindfulness is out there all over the place now, and it is because of him. And he passed away a few years ago. I'm looking at him right now in a picture. And I love that man with all my heart because he sacrificed his entire being for us, as did Jesus. And all of these people that we now know, think of as of another era. But that's exactly what we all need to be doing ourselves, listening to the mystery, trusting the mystery. Get rid of all the crap that's been put into your world, our world views by parents, aunts, uncles, grandparents that lived in a very different time. Our world views are absolutely essential to building our strength as we get older. Now, I'm going to be 71 in a couple of weeks. And while I can't believe that, believe me.
Happy birthday. I have a
Oh,
birthday
thank you.
Saturday. I have a birthday Saturday.
Yes, you do. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
To all the wonderful Aquarians out there.
Yeah. And it's so funny you
But
said, go ahead. No, I don't want to take away from what you're
no,
saying.
go ahead. I was just going to say, but just fly above.
Yeah, and
Become the dove. Become the dove. Don't just look at the dove. Become her. In your body, in your move, in your movement. In fact, when you're done listening to see Susie's program now, think about your soul having that buttery consistency that can just melt into nothingness and let your body just melt to the floor. You won't hurt yourself if you let yourself melt. Because the only thing that hurts us is if we are rigid and then we fall hard and we break things. So if you let yourself melt, I didn't know I was falling that day when I broke my leg. So I didn't melt. I turned to technique instead. That was my error.
yeah, that's
But
interesting.
that's okay.
Yeah,
I
it
have more to learn.
Yeah, it's so that's a beautiful thing. We want to thank Constance McLean for joining us today, and to say that we're all being remembered, having been dismembered from the knowing of our oneness. When you talk about we're all going to be together again, we are united. And Rumi talks about, union doesn't occur with the sentimentality that we think. Union occurs at the point of annihilation. And we don't like that word, but that's the experience of it. And it's not something, you don't have to like something. It's like the medicine, you don't have to like it, but
Right.
but its intention, that fire is not the fire of destruction. It's the fire of cautery, of love, of having the what you talk about getting rid of, I see it as a melting that takes place in my surrender of those parts,
Yes,
of those parts,
exactly.
you know, and the mindfulness is not the heart of the mind, because for me, that's the little mind when I think, when I act like I have two heads. The
Yeah.
mindfulness for me is the mind of the heart. And that's a much bigger
Yeah, the mind of the soul.
mind of the soul. That's correct.
Yeah, for
I've
me,
always,
it's the heart, the mind of the soul, for sure.
yeah. And I've always felt that the heart is so much more than a pump. So this has just been a wonderful beginning of a conversation that I'd like to expand on. And thank you all. And just in the being still and the knowing that we are already in community with one another. And no distance can separate us from the true love that we all belong to in every single moment of every single day, no matter what we're feeling. Feelings, in my experience, are limited. It's like an opinion, as good or as bad as the last movie I saw, you know. So, but the knowing, you
Yeah.
know, we are grounded, and what Constance is, the invitation, that her power of example is such an extraordinary light in our world, because it's an invitation to total surrender. And she is a wonderful example of the fullness of love coming out of that place that you think is impossible. And I can't think of leaving our listeners and viewers with a better message for this day, in this hour that can be dark or light, depending on where you find yourself. So, and Soul Butter, this is the Suze Muse.
Love that.
And you can find it on Apple and all the other podcasts, but you can also find it in video on YouTube. The channel is at Suze Muse Studio TV. Please subscribe. And if you want to check anything out online, just go to at the Suze Muse, and we'll get you in touch with Constance and whoever else.
Now.
Let's build you up. Let's find Constance on Blue Sky. Let's start a new world there on Blue Sky.
There we go. Yeah.
So,
I'm moving to Blue Sky.
and you are already
And
there.
I'm already an insight timer, which is another good one.
Right. Yes,
It's
very good.
insight time.
Yes, very
And
good.
Blue Sky.
Yes, Blue Sky.
So thank you, Susie, for being the very wise hostess with the mostest.
Well, and birthday girl. Oh, this is what I tell on my, I was always said fellow Aquarians, and the other day I said fellow aquarium. So now I'm going to have a little club of aquariums, and so fellow aquarium, happy birthday to you. I wish you well.
And ditto to you, my friend.
Okay.
Thank you for the invite.
It's my pleasure. We'll see
Let's
you
keep
again.
the spirit going.
We will keep it going, and we'll keep our souls buttery. See you soon.
That's perfect. That is so perfect. I love that.
Is Soul Butter, a tiny talk about big things. Light notes from the Suze Muse.